You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The odds are still stacked against them, but the Cleveland Indians refuse to go quietly as they continue to pursue the second wild card position in the American League. Welcome to MLB.com Extras Cleveland Indians. Matt Wehmeyer in on a Tuesday for Anthony Castrovince this week, joined by Indians reporter Jordan Bastian. And Jordan, thank you for your time on this Tuesday. And I believe in talking to Anthony on last week's podcast, just sort of indicated that the mood in the clubhouse was along the lines of, you know, let's just get back to 500 before we start thinking about the wild card standings. They're two games off of that 500 mark right now. So how much of a boost would it be for these guys to open up their MLB.com app and to look at the standings and to see, hey, we are a 500 club and now we can really get serious about pursuing this wild card spot?
Hey, great plug for the MLB.com app there. Now, you know, you're right. And I think that still continues to be that mentality. You know, these guys are, whether they're looking at the standings or not right now, they're saying the right thing, which is that they're not looking at the standings, that they're trying to take care of the business that's right in front of them at this particular moment each day. And that's really the mentality that, as cliche as it sounds, that Terry Francona has really tried to emphasize since he came in here as manager a few years ago, just sort of that horse blinder approach to a season that, you know, early in the year when they were in such a big hole, I think some of the guys in that room were getting overwhelmed by looking too far ahead. And you seem to kind of feel that within the clubhouse, and it seemed to show within their play. And, you know, they made some trades, bring in some young blood, bring up some rookies, some kids that maybe don't know any better, as they like to say. And all of a sudden they're playing with a renewed energy. And, you know, obviously it's easy to say when the team's going well that they're taking that one day at a time mentality to heart. But, you know, that's what it's looked like. And this is a team that, you know, was very highly thought of coming into the season because of the talented starting rotation. And, you know, they still have a talented starting rotation. So if they can climb back into this thing and continue to hack away at that deficit and get within earshot of that second wild card, you know, they still feel they have the type of pitching and now the improved type of defense that could help them if they were to be able to get into a playoff-type scenario. But again, you know, as you mentioned, still two games under 500, still need to keep chipping away before we can really start talking about that being a realistic scenario. The wild card race right now is a pretty big cluster of teams, a lot of teams trying to leapfrog a lot of other teams. You know, so it's still a daunting road ahead here with a few weeks left.
And, Jordan, you mentioned some of the rookies that have been in the mix for this Indians team, the second half of the season especially. And one of the guys I just love watching throughout all the baseball, Francisco Lindor, we see what he's done on the field, the impact he's made offensively, defensively. And when it comes to rookies, I love to get the reporters' take on what these guys are like just in talking to them. What's their attitude? What's their demeanor? What kind of a kid are we talking about here in Francisco Lindor?
Well, I think what I've always been impressed with him, even when it was when he was very young, he went to his first Futures game and we had a chance to talk to him then. Just as young as he is, when you talk with him, you forget how young he is. You know, and then you go up and write and you have to type 21 in and you remember how young he is. But he's a kid that's always kind of carried himself in a much more mature manner. And I think the one thing he's really done since he's been here, and this is always the goal for a young player trying to cut his teeth at the big league stage, is to show right away that he's willing to do the little things for the betterment of the team. This is a guy that comes up as very confident, not to the point where I'd say he's cocky, but he's very confident and has a very high opinion of what he believes he can be in this game. But he's done a good job of kind of tempering that since he's been here. And, you know, if you want to look at one stat that would maybe indicate that type of approach, it would be the fact that he's already leading the American League in sacrifice bunts, which there have times where even Francona has said, you know, he should probably swing away, but he's taken it upon himself to move runners and set it up for the guys in the middle of the lineup. And that to me is just a statistical example of the type of attitude he's showing right now, which is I'm willing to give myself up if it means that it could put the team in a better position to win. So he's taking a little heat lately for some of the bunting, but we saw the other day in Detroit, you know, when he decided to swing away, he comes through with a two-run triple. So, I mean, he's kind of doing all those things where he's making an impact. He's willing to put his stats aside to help the team. And then, obviously, defensively, you know, the guy has been an elite defender at shortstop. which has really helped shore up things up the middle for the Indians, which was a huge area of need coming into the season.
I think one of my favorite stats with Lindor so far this season is when they played the Yankees in the Bronx a couple of weeks ago, Dellin Betances had gone something like 301 consecutive left-handed batters without giving up a home run. Lindor takes him deep. I mean, was that a moment right there where you kind of say to yourself, hey, we know this kid's good, but wow, to do something like that, I mean, Betances had been nearly automatic against lefties, and Betances is a righty, which is even more incredible, and for Lindor to take him deep, was that like an aha moment, like we've really got something special here?
Yeah, that was a great moment. I think I actually that day, I think my story was strictly on that at bat, just kind of breaking down that battle, and, you know, a guy in Betances who looks like he's 9 feet tall when he's on the mound for this rookie who's standing there, he's not a very big guy. That was actually Linda. You know, I said, what was your first impression of Betances? His eyes wide, he said he's big. You know, so he still has some of that awe of being up here in the big leagues, but he's able to kind of control himself and, you know, kind of keep that stuff in check. And, you know, he's really turned into a high-level player as a 21-year-old rookie in the big leagues. And I think right now, I mean, statistically, you know, he would stack up as a probable rookie of the year candidate. You know, you might look at him as a, you know, some people might say he would be first, some people might say second or third, but, you know, it's been in only a half season's worth of games or a little under, you know, it's been really, really impressive so far.
I mean, talk about a great race shaping up for AL Rookie of the Year. You've got him, you got Carlos Correa and Miguel Sano. I mean, flip a coin. You can't go wrong with any of those three. Maybe Lindor is the one that comes out on top. Jordan, I want to just go back to the team overall, you know, their perspective as they are now, like we said, two games under 500, chasing a wild card spot. They had that six-game winning streak somewhat recently, but the game I keep going back to is the one they lost to snap that streak in Toronto. They were down, I believe, 3-2 in the ninth. Yan Gomes hit a game-tying homer, his second of the day, to eventually send it to extras. Toronto went on to win that game, but even though that was a loss, even though that snapped a six-game streak, could that be one of those games or one of those moments that if the Indians do make October, can they look back on that game and say, even though it was a loss, it was one of those moments that we can look back on and say it really helped galvanize this team and really helped us towards this push?
Yeah, I think the first two games, if I'm not mistaken, in Toronto were really, really well-played games. And that was one of those series where, okay, you swept the homestand, you're on a nice run, and now you got to go into Toronto where, you know, they're packing that place and this team has all the momentum going and one of the favorites in the American League right now. And to go in there and play the way the Indians did, I do kind of agree with you that, you know, even though you come away with a loss in that game, you can walk away from that game and that series going, you know, we hung with them toe-to-toe with one of the most powerful, potent offenses and really kind of held them in check a little bit. So I think that was a big series. I think going to Detroit, I know the Tigers aren't playing that well right now, but if the Tigers are a team that this season and traditionally in recent seasons have really handled the Indians, have been a thorn in Cleveland's side, and they went to Detroit and won that series, which was a big step for this team too. Just to go in there and take care of business and beat the Tigers, you know, says something for this team because that's been a big challenge for them. So you're right, that series in Toronto, the one in Detroit, and there's been a lot of good games like that lately. Even the makeup game when they went to Chicago at Wrigley Field, Lester and Kluber went toe-to-toe for that whole game, and it ends in Bryant hitting a walk-off home run. Obviously, that's a memorable moment for the Cubs fan base, but, I mean, that was another game where it felt like playoff-type atmosphere for an Indians team that, you know, so desperately wants to experience a real playoff-type atmosphere again.
No question about that. And speaking about Mr. Kluber, he was scratched from his start on Friday with a hamstring strain. What is the health update for him? Will he make his next scheduled start?
He is back in Cleveland right now. He's probably going to miss at least one more start. You know, he's slowly going through a throwing progression again, but they're pretty confident that he's going to pitch again this season. They got Carlos Carrasco primed to come off the disabled list here. And guys who have been filling in at the back end, Josh Tomlin, Cody Anderson, have really been doing a great job too. You know, Trevor Bauer has made some strides. Salazar's had some up and downs lately. But, you know, with the prospect of Kluber coming back at some point in the next couple weeks, and with Carrasco coming off the DL here soon, you know, this again is a rotation that, you know, if the team offensively and defensively can kind of keep holding their heads above water, pitching staff should be strong enough to kind of help collect some wins here. So it should make for an interesting few weeks. And if Kluber can come back for the last couple weeks of that, you know, that would obviously be huge for this team.
Yeah, no question. And we all remember what Kluber did down the stretch last September, his last five starts of the year. Nothing short of brilliant. The ERA just over one. I believe he had back-to-back 14K games, and it really kind of sealed the Cy Young Award for him in a neck-and-neck race with Felix Hernandez. You mentioned the other guys like Carrasco and Salazar, Bauer, Cody Anderson had a great spot start for Kluber a couple of days ago and filling in. But with all due respect to them, are the Indians' fortunes going to rest on Corey Kluber? Is he the guy that has to step up and really lead the charge down the stretch like he did last September if the Indians are going to make a serious run towards a wild card spot?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a key part of that. And you know, one thing I think you would hope is if he is down for one or two or three starts, 10 days, whatever, with the hamstring issue, you know, he was starting to get up to, I think he was leading the American League in innings at the time. And, you know, a guy who threw as many innings as he did last year, you would hope that maybe, you know, could it be a blessing in disguise that he gets a little bit of a respite here before he can come back for the stretch run and maybe have a little more life in that arm. And, you know, I think the good news is that the injury was not arm-related, that it was his legs. And so maybe he can come back and be sharper for the last couple of weeks. That would be huge for this team. But, yeah, he's going to be very important. Getting Carrasco and him together again down the stretch would be huge for this team. But, again, it's going to come down to the offense needing to keep it up and that defense continue to be mistake-free.
Absolutely. I think I made a mistake. I said Anderson made the spot start for Kluber. That was Josh Tomlin, I believe, last Friday.
There's been so much shuffling around, you know, that it's Tomlin technically moved up into his place for the start, and it wasn't necessarily a spot start. It's they with Carrasco on the DL, Tomlin and Anderson are both in the rotation. And, you know, when they come back, they may be a six-man staff in spurts. One of those guys might go to the bullpen. There's been a lot of moving parts in that rotation right now, so you weren't technically incorrect there.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel better. That a lot of names, like you said, a lot of moving parts, a lot of injuries, a lot of back and forth, but you're here to keep it all straight now, so I do appreciate that. I want to get your thoughts on Cody Anderson, though. He was terrific against the Tigers Sunday, 7 scoreless for the win, gave up just 2 hits. You look at his season breakdown, it's interesting. His first 4 starts, an ERA under 1. His next 4, ERA over 10, a completely different pitcher. He's really found his rhythm these last 3 starts, an ERA of just 2.08, again, capped by the 7 scoreless on Sunday. What adjustments has he made in your eyes to kind of rediscover that early season success that he had?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds simple, but with him, a lot of it is just keeping things in the lower half of the strike zone and, you know, finding a way sequencing-wise where his changeup can really play up, because this is not a guy that's going to blow away hitters. It's very similar to Josh Tomlin in that, you know, he relies on pounding the strike zone, getting ahead, and then finding ways to use those types of scenarios for using his off speed to kind of keep guys off balance. And his changeup has been kind of his weapon. And I think when he went through that rough patch, it was kind of that combination of the changeup wasn't as sharp as it had been early on, and he was elevating the fastball more. You know, went on the DL with a mild oblique issue. You know, we don't know if that played a role or not, but since he's come back, he's looked more like the guy that he was at the beginning when he was just incredible for the Indians. So, you know, that's a solid 5 to have there at the back end of the rotation. A guy that's another rookie arm, so it kind of shows, once again, kind of the wealth of arms that the Indians have behind their front 4. But, yeah, I think that's kind of been most of it lately, is kind of returning to getting lower in the strike zone with that fastball and having that improvement with that changeup.
And, Jordan, just to wrap up here, a big win on Monday against the White Sox by a 3-2 score in that game. Ryan Rayburn homers not once but twice off White Sox ace Chris Sale. What's more, he hadn't even played in a game since August 31st. You throw him in there against someone as brilliant as Sale. He homers twice. He's got 4 career homers against Chris Sale. Is this just a case where you see it in baseball sometimes, some of these anomalies where certain guys just own certain other guys? I don't want to say Ryan Rayburn owns Chris Sale, but in talking to him, can he even explain his success against one of the best pitchers in the game?
It's not just Sale. It's the White Sox in general. He has 82 career RBIs against the White Sox, and his second best is 25 against the Royals. He has, I think, 20 of his 80-odd home runs in his career have all come against the White Sox, and he has 4 homers against Sale. He has 4 of his career 8 multi-homer games against the White Sox. And we asked him, and he said, I don't know. So it's just one of those things where he hits really well at U.S. Cellular Field. He says he likes kind of the backdrop here, and sometimes there are certain parts that provide a good batter's eye for certain hitters that they just like it more than others. And then, as he also noted, you know, he's kind of the versus lefty specialist for the Indians offensively, and the White Sox have traditionally over recent years thrown a lot of lefties, you know, at people, especially against the Indians, because the facing lefties has been a weakness of the Indians in recent years. So, you know, if there's a lefty on the mound, chances are Ryan Rayburn's going to be in that lineup, and I think he's has an OPS around 900 against left-handers this season. So it's not just Chris Sale, and it's not just the White Sox. He's been doing damage against lefties pretty much all year. But yeah, you're right. It is kind of one of those fluky things that a pitcher as good as Sale, you know, Rayburn has kind of had his number.
Yeah, it is really fun to watch. And, of course, he spent his entire career in the American League Central, so he's faced the White Sox plenty of times. Have been at U.S. Cellular Field plenty of times. But in seeing that last night for a guy, like I said, even if he'd played every day, it would still be quite the accomplishment. But to not play since August 31st is something else indeed. That's going to wrap it up. Indians reporter Jordan Bastian, thanks as always for your time, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks again. This is Matt Waymire signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.